Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
We're talking about the psychology of backsliding. Attitude number three, there are shortcuts to everything, including going to heaven. Now, these are some people's attitude. Some people believe that there is a shortcut for everything. Now, that's the devil's ideology. The devil believes in a shortcut. If you are going from one point to the other, the devil believes, why go in a straight line? Just take this way. And science tells us that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But the devil will tell you, this other road is shorter. Take it. A man said one time, whether you enter the house through the window or through the door, what is important is that you are in the house. The end justifies the means. In kingdom service, in Christianity, the end does not justify the means. It is the means that justify the ends. It is the how that determines the where. The road determines your destination in the kingdom. It is not your destination that determines the road. So, don't believe there's a shortcut. We are going to know how to do it. Don't worry. Let's get there. When we stand by the balcony of heaven and cry, there's no way God will not do something. When we gather like 1 million people and all of us are crying at the same time and say, God, you need to look at us. There's no way he will not do something. Some people just believe like that. The world is under the delusion that there are shortcuts to everything. Unfortunately, some Christians think in that same way. We may think that there's a shorter way to heaven, but there's only one way to heaven. It is only by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and being born again. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Every religion acknowledges the presence of God. Every one of them knows that there is a deity called God. We may not be able to describe him, but there is a superior being. But Jesus came and said to the people, I am the way. There is no other way. And if he says there's no other way, there is simply no other way. Remember the story of Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, who came to Jesus in John chapter 3, and by night, and said to him, good master, what can a man do to do the works that you do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, the word born again cannot be taken away from the admission requirement of heaven. It's a must. Jesus said, you must. When you hear the word must, it means no option, no alternative. Sometimes we are filling form, and they will tell you that every item marked asterisk is compulsory. And so if you don't fill it, you can't submit the form. So born again is a must requirement to enter heaven. And Nicodemus was interested in heaven and said to Jesus, but how can a man be born again? Will he have to enter into his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus said it has to do with confession, with repentance, with regeneration, with the water and the blood and the spirit. And you are born again. So there are no shortcuts. The devil will always want to present shortcuts and say, well, if you keep giving in the church, God can use that and forget about other things. And say, God, use this my giving and help me. Lord, I cannot pray, but I can give. So as I am giving, whatever prayer is doing for others, let my giving do for me. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of principle. And the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. No man can change the structure of heaven. If it was given that prayer would do this and giving would do this, that's what prayer would do. That's what giving would do. So you need to apply all the principle holistically if you are going to get benefit or maximize the benefit of it. The devil came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and said to him, if you will only bow to me, then I will give you all the beauties and the glamour of the earth. That was a shortcut provided. And can I let you know, children of God, that there are many shortcuts, religious shortcuts today. And you need to beware. Beware of easy Christianity. That sometimes some people preach and say, once you are born again, you are born again. Some people say, we don't need our righteousness. Jesus Christ has procured righteousness for us. So it is not about what you are doing. So you see, some people become careless in their attitude because they believe it is not about our righteousness. They will say, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, the righteousness of a man is as a filthy rag before God. So let me just be myself. I will be saved by the righteousness of Jesus. That's not a true gospel. That's a shortcut. The Bible says, let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not Jesus believed. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there is a direct responsibility on the shoulder of the man who wants to go to heaven to believe in his heart, confess in his mouth, and act. So many shortcuts are available. I say, well, you can just get there. Nobody will enter heaven by default. Write it down, don't forget it. Nobody will make heaven by default. Now, default is something that is already set. If you have a phone, there's what is called default setting. So sometimes you press a button and they say return or restore to default setting. In other words, restore it to the way it was. So as soon as you just click that button, restore to default setting, it goes back to the way the phone was when you bought it. You can't make heaven by default. Nobody enters heaven by error. In fact, from here, you know where you are going to. Praise God. The best judge of ourselves is ourselves. Paul said, I do everything on a daily basis to examine myself, lest I will not preach the gospel, and I myself will become a castaway. Amen. And even if Jesus doesn't return in the next 200 years, you are not going to live 200 years. So Jesus is the way. Attitude number four, another thinking that people have is, God loves me too much to punish me. Yeah. There are some people you preach to and they say, forget it. There's no way God will burn people with fire. He's a loving God. Have you seen the skyscrapers? Have you seen all the beautiful buildings? Of course, some buildings are beautiful. Praise God. Oh, some things are beautiful in this world. I don't know whether you have seen some beautiful things. Some cars are beautiful. Some human beings are beautiful. But the same God that created them have said, I'm going to destroy them one day. And you know that God doesn't talk like a politician. No, he's not one. He said to Noah, build an ark. Soon, I'll mess this place up. He said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I will rake down Sodom and Gomorrah. And somebody is saying, God is not going to burn it with fire. He loves me so much. Some Christians and other people believe God will never punish them. They quote John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Full stop. Praise God. I'm sure you know that that's not the end of that scripture. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I'm stopping there. Put verse 17 and verse 18 and you will know what follows. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So always take it to that point. He that believeth not. Praise God. Now, to believe here is not only limited to say, well, I believe that Jesus came, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I believe that he died and resurrected on the third day, I believe that he's living and seated at the right hand of the Father, I believe that he will return. Every belief must impact on your attitude. Praise God. Every belief must impact on your attitude. They say that behavior is the way of people's belief. So never deceive yourself with that illusion. Well, God loved me so much. They argue that since God loves the world so much, he will not destroy them because of this. They add sin to sin without batting an eyelid. You know, when God sent Jonah to go to Nineveh, God told Jonah, go and tell them to amend their ways. Otherwise, I will judge them. But you know what Jonah went to tell them? He said, God said, in 40 days, I will destroy this nation. Praise God. Jonah actually wanted those people to be killed. He didn't like them. He said, God said, in 40 days. So he wanted to bend the hand of God. Because he was thinking that they won't be able to adjust in 40 days. Praise the Lord. God loves us. We know that. You must understand that God's nature is like two sides of a coin. One side of the coin shows the head and the other side shows the tail. One side of God shows his great love and the other side shows his judgment. Everyone will meet Jesus first as a savior. And then after that, we'll meet him as our Lord. And after that, you'll meet him as your judge. Now, these are three stages we'll meet Jesus. We meet him first as a savior. And as a savior, it's like a Father Christmas. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just come the way you are. That's the savior talking. Just come, casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. That's a savior. But after that, we need to meet him as our Lord. In that position, he rules and reigns over you. He tells you, sit down. And you sit. And if you can meet him as a Lord, you won't have problems meeting him as a judge. But if you miss meeting him as a Lord, you are going to have issues when you meet him as a judge. As a judge, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And go to hellfire that was prepared for devil and all those workers of iniquity. For when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. That's a judge talking. Praise God. By this time, he needs nobody to talk on your behalf. He has already concluded by your action. So, when you are not born again, you meet him as a savior. When you become born again, you meet him as a Lord. And when he returns, he comes as a judge. So decide in your heart that when you meet him, whether as a savior, as a Lord, as a judge, you won't have issues. When God shows you one side of his character, you will see love, you see forgiveness, you see mercy of the highest order. God will forgive and forget your sins. But a time will come when God will show you the other side of his nature, which is judgment, justice, fairness and equity. We are now in the dispensation of grace, and God is showing us mercy and love. Yes, when the dispensation of grace is showing us mercy and love, that's why you can commit a grievous sin today and still wake up tomorrow morning. Still very healthy, still very sound. But we are in that dispensation of mercy. And let me say this, that within the dispensation of mercy, there are some people that God will coin out judgment before judgment for them. The Bible says, he that is often reproved and yet hardeneth his neck shall be broken beyond repair. There are some people that God will give them harsh judgment even before the judgment of hellfire. I'm watching at you. How dare you sin and repent? Sin and repent. Sin and repent. Sin and repent. One day God will say your own cup is up to the brim. There's no more forgiveness for you. And will bring judgment on you. So don't take the love of God for granted. They said the same teeth that your dog will use to smile is the same teeth it will use when it wants to bite you. So there's going to come a time, whether here on earth or when Jesus will return, that God will show you his judgment side. And say, you have taken my love so much for granted. Let me show you the other side of me. And that's called the dark side of the anointing. The side that you wouldn't like, but you don't have an option. In the land of Egypt, God showed his love to the children of Israel. The water of the Egyptian is turning to blood. Their water is okay. The Egyptians are experiencing darkness. They are enjoying light. So much sickness and infirmity and affliction for the Egyptians. They are healthy. They are sound. Nothing was going up against them. God opened the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. Everything is okay. But in the wilderness, God tolerated them. And then God said, no, I'm going to show them my the other side. He said, I will send fiery serpents. And for one day, snakes killed 22,000. Now, that's the same God we are serving. So as a pastor, as a leader, as a husband, as a wife, you are doing it. And God is overlooking it. One day, you may just not be lucky. So you can enter a car and the car will crash. Everybody will die, including you. Praise God. Are we together? Think about all the wicked sins you have committed but still receive his forgiveness. At a certain point, the Spirit of the Lord will no longer strive with man. God will have to judge us. He loves you so much that he will punish you when he has to. Praise God. Because every father that loves his child do not spare the child from punishment. So he loves us so much that he will have to punish us when he has to. Attitude number 5. I have more time. I am not going to die soon. Yeah, that's the attitude of some other people. I'm still young, full of age. I'm just 23. I'm just 18. I just turned 40. My father died at 120. So going by that, maybe I will live 121 or 128. I'm still young. My organs are beating very well. My blood pressure is normal. My kidney is very functional. My liver, okay. In fact, I just had a comprehensive medical check and the doctor satisfied that I am okay. So I am not dying anytime soon. Who told you that those who died because their organs were not functioning? Praise God. Now, that's the deceit of some people. People think that because they are young, they still have a lot of time. Also, they think they have enough of their lives ahead of them to sort things out with God. I still have time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. God said the best time to make things right is now. Because there's going to come a time that things will be so crowded in your spirit that you don't even have time to serve God. So do it now. Some people think, I still have enough time, I can make things right. Yeah, can make things right. You know, there are some people that repented on their deathbed. 2 days before they died, they brought a pastor, and the pastor led them to Christ, and they died in Christ. Some people say, well, I'm going to be as lucky as the thief. That man has committed sin and enjoyed himself all through. And the day he was dying, Jesus just carried him some to heaven. But you still remember that there were two, one didn't go. So who said you may not be the unlucky one? Praise God. Say, well, as soon as I begin to find out that death is coming, I'll call for some pastors. Probably before the pastor arrives your hospital bed, you have died. The Bible said there's no repentance in the grave. It is not safe to assume that there is more time. The Bible warns that because we don't know the day or the hour Christ will come, we must be ready all time. The key word here is preparation. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. The key word is preparation. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. So the key word is prepare. Get ready to meet God anytime, any day. Not only when you are coming to church on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, in your office, in your market, anywhere. Be ready to meet God and say like Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whether I live or die, I live for Christ. I am crucified with the Lord. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's what you should be. That's who you should be. I am living on a daily basis for Christ. If while I am traveling to Lagos, there is an accident and everybody dies, I go home peacefully and smiling. Praise God. Because if you are in a plane and accident wants to take place, you may not remember to confess your sin. And if you confess your sin, then you may forget some sin. Praise God. So confess it now that you have time and you are relaxed so that you can remember all. Not when the flight is shaking and they are announcing that we are sorry to announce that this flight may not land safely. And they begin to say, God, all my sins that I have committed, forgive me. And God said, all your sins, how? And you just mentioned the one you just had with your neighbor before you boarded. Praise God. Now that you can relax and mention them, deal with it. Don't say, I have so much time. Everybody will not live old on earth. There are some persons that will go. Some persons died at 20. Some people died at 40. Some people died at 100. But at whatever time you die, what is important is your readiness to meet with your maker. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid off for many years. Take life easy, drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you are prepared for yourself? Anybody can die. Princess Diana of England died with her husband in a car crash at a very tender age some years ago, and it shocked the world. Who could have believed that such a high personality would die in an accident in a Mercedes car that was bulletproof? But she died right inside there with her husband. So what are we talking about? In this place, in Luke chapter 12, the Bible tells the story of a man who had a successful business. He had so much that he wondered what to do with the profits. He decided to build bigger barns to store his goods. In our time, this would be equivalent to opening new bank accounts. When he completed his project, he said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for you many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God reacted immediately and called him up to heaven for a discussion, and he didn't come back. Praise God. And the truth is, God can call anyone at any time. He can call you while at home. This man had so much money, had so much wealth. He entered to sleep and didn't wake up. Some people will give name to that. How did he die? He just entered to sleep and didn't wake up. How did he die? He was traveling, he had an accident and died. It's all the same thing. But they didn't know the story behind that sleeping and not waking up. God called him home. There are many husbands that God have called home because of their misbehavior. God said, how can I set this my daughter free? Both of them are married. How can I set my daughter free? God said, let me kill this foolish man. He kills him and bring a David to marry your wife. Praise God. You know what happened to Nabal? A foolish man. And he was married to a wonderful girl, wonderful woman, tormenting the woman anyhow. One day God said, okay, I know what I'll do. Instead of this foolish man to kill my daughter, I will call him home and then give her over to a king. Praise God. And God killed Nabal, and a king got married to his wife. And there are many wives that God has called home because of misbehavior. So this man said, I'm going to break my bonds. I'm going to open a new bank account. I'm going to buy new clothes. I'm going to change my wardrobe. I'm going to go to Brazil and buy Brazilian hair and put it on from my head down to my feet when I'm walking. They know that this is a special candidate. And God will call you up for a meeting. that you didn't wake up. He said, oh, the driver was careless. When God chooses to call you, it can be on your bed, can be on your pillow, can be in your car, it can be anywhere. But let it be that it's not calling you because of anger. Praise the Lord. Do not put off your Christian obligation because you think you are still young and there is more time. You never know when God will summon you to account for your life. So, take care of your heart. Mind the things you are thinking that is affecting the quality of your service. Mind the things you are believing that is affecting how you serve God. Well, we can do it anyhow. After all, there are other people that are also doing it. There are some people that say, well, if I'm not there, another person will do it. The work will still be done. Not knowing that every man will bear his own burden. My prayer for us is that God will help us. And we will make heaven at last. That's the whole essence of being children of God. If you didn't make heaven, you failed as a Christian. And what would be the essence of coming to church on Wednesdays like this? Every Wednesday you are here. Every Friday you are here. Sunday you are here. They say buy Sunday school manual, you buy. Come for choir rehearsal, you come. Give offerings, you give. Give tithe, you give. You even go out of your way to do kingdom service, and yet you have not given your entire self to God. What will it profit a man to earn the whole world and yet loses the most precious things, his soul? What will it profit a man? You lose nothing being a child of God. You lose nothing being a good husband. You lose nothing being a submissive wife. You lose nothing being a good Christian as a young brother, as a young sister. You lose nothing. You lose absolutely nothing. But you gain everything. And that's what Jesus wants. So that when death calls, we may be crying for you, but you are smiling while you are getting up there. Because the Bible says it is appointed for a man once to die. And after death, the judgment will come.
Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain, magnify his name, to tell all the people and every nation that he reigns. Zion is calling me to a higher place of grace. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain and magnify his name, to tell all the people, every nation.